Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Joy Lutheran Church. It is great to have you with us today on this, the last Sunday in the season of Easter. We have just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship today. First is next weekend, the weekend of May 22nd and 23rd. We will be recognizing and celebrating our graduating seniors, and so we are asking families of both high school and college graduates to send a picture and a brief description of what is next for your graduate. Please send that information to Lindsay Peterson so that we can include this in our worship next weekend. Join us for a day of enjoying the beauty of God's creation on Saturday, June 5th, as we hike Staunton State Park. This will be a guided 4.5-mile hike led by Scott Knight. So if you are interested in participating in this event, please contact our care coordinator, Lois Tan. Spring is here and life is blooming, and that means joy is emerging from what is a challenging year. And that means that there are exciting opportunities to get involved with, including worship. We are looking for worship assistants, lesson readers, greeters, ushers, you name it, and we will find a way for you to be a part of our worship together. Please contact the church office if you are available to help. Sign-ups for Vacation Bible School and Rainbow Trail Day Camp are now open. Both events will take place here at Joy. There is limited space available, so be sure to get your child registered for both of these awesome events. We are also looking for young adult volunteers to help be leaders during these weeks of Vacation Bible School and Day Camp. Please contact Lindsay Peterson with any questions or if you are able and willing to help out. This week marks the first week where you are not required to pre-register for worship. Limits on attendance have also been removed. We do ask that you be respectful of others' space when seated in the sanctuary. And also, please know that we are still under a statewide mask mandate and that we here at Joy Lutheran Church will adhere to that mandate as long as it is in effect. So we'd love to have you join us for in-person worship. Just know that you will be required to wear a mask. That's all the announcements I have for you today, so let us begin our time of worship together. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us take time to share the peace of God with one another. We turn now to our order of confession and forgiveness, beginning as we live in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. We'll take a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. So for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in singing our song of praise. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ you protect us from evil. By your Spirit, transform us and your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship with the lessons.
Today's first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 26. In the days between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost, Peter oversees the process whereby one of the members of the community of believers is chosen to be the 12th apostle in order to fill the vacancy created by Judas's treachery and death. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. for he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. They prayed and said, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Our response to Psalm is the first Psalm. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. They meditate on God's teaching day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed. Our second lesson is from 1 John, chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. God has borne witness to the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Son of God believes in the witness of God and has the promise of eternal life. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
We continue our worship with the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from this world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them. And they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you had given me. I guarded them. And not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to this world, just as I do not belong to the world, so sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue with the children's sermon. Hey, good morning, boys and girls. I was praying a little bit this morning for my friends. Listen, I want to ask you about prayer, because we talk about praying a lot in the church. The Bible talks about praying a lot. And we say prayers together all the time. In our church service, we have a whole period of time where we pray to God and ask for God's blessings on people who need God's blessings, for the whole world and for the people of God. We pray a prayer that Jesus taught us. You remember it? It's the Lord's Prayer. We say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Those are the prayers we kind of say in church. But do you say prayers at home, too? We do. When I was your age, when I was a child growing up, I used to pray at night, every night. And I'd say, Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Keep me safe all through the night, and wake me with the morning light. Amen. Or at supper times, we used to say, God is great and God is good, so we thank God for our food. No, not food, food, right? It didn't quite rhyme, but it was still a prayer. How about you? What do you pray for? Probably a lot of the same sorts of things, I imagine, right? Today in the gospel lesson, Jesus is praying, but he's praying for his friends. He's praying for his friends because Jesus is about to leave this world in the gospel lesson. He's about to die. And then he'll be raised from the dead. And then he'll ascend up into heaven. He has to go away to be with God. And he wants his friends to be okay. So he prays, God, protect them from the dangers of this world. What about you? You ever pray for your friends? I think that is such a cool thing to do. It shows God how much we love them and how much we care for them. So I think maybe we should think about our friends. We should think about people who need protections from God. Maybe our moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, our brothers and sisters. But also, what about our friends? God loves them too. So tonight or today when you say your prayers, ask God to protect, keep safe, and to keep loving your friends. Say their names to God, and God will hear your prayers. Capisce? Capisce. Well, let's pray. Dear God, this morning I pray for all of our friends who are watching this at home or in church. We ask that you bless each one of them, that you protect them from anything dangerous in the world, and that you help them to love you more and more each and every day. God bless our friends. In the name of Christ, amen. All right. Thanks for coming today, and we'll see you all next time. Adios. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Apparently, Archimedes, you know, the guy who sat in the bathtub and said, "Eureka!" when he discovered how to determine the mass of an object through water displacement. Well, that same guy, he was also the first guy to articulate that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And I say to Archimedes, the great Greek scientist and mathematician who has been dead since 212 BC, to him, with all due respect, I say, duh. I mean, this is common sense, isn't it? If I were traveling to Iowa to see our grandbaby Isla, I am not going to drive to California and then to Canada and then to New York and then back to Iowa to see her. I want to get there as soon as possible. I want to take the most direct route. The straight line principle applies to that situation. But it doesn't always only apply to travel or mathematics. It also applies to writing or to speaking. Sometimes I know I can see you sitting out there in the congregation and you're just dying to yell out at the pastor, "Come on, man, get to the point." Don't do it, though. I mean, that would hurt my feelings. But if we're talking about the biblical authors, the straight line theory best describes the Gospel of Mark. He tells the story of Jesus' life quickly, directly, and efficiently. On the other hand, we have the Gospel of John, and that's more like this. See, he gets caught up in the linguistic gymnastics, the twists and turns. He takes an extremely circuitous route to make his points. And that man has absolutely no idea of the meaning of the phrase word economy. Today, in fact, in the gospel lesson we have for this day is a prayer spoken by Jesus. If you were in worship last week, Pastor Ryan said that this whole part of John is taking place during the Last Supper. At that time, Jesus is praying for his friends, his disciples sitting around the table with him. And this is right before he goes out, right before he goes into the garden, right before he gets arrested, before he suffers and dies. This is his last minute prayer to God on behalf of the disciples. The part we have today looks kind of like this image. It's not a straight line. Jesus makes three points, and John causes them to spiral, each one of those points out of control. But the main ideas are still there. So let's break that down. The first part of the prayer of Jesus is all about establishing a chain of credibility, a connection to God. Let's do an exercise today, shall we? For you at home, raise your hand if you can name off the top of your head the top 10 wealthiest people in the world. Can you do it? I don't think so. Okay, now raise your hand if you can name without Googling the Academy Award winners for best actors and actresses for the last 5 years. That's all, just 5 years. Can't do it, huh? One more. Name 10 people, just 10 people who have won the Nobel Peace Prize over the entire history of the award. Just so you know, 101 people have won this award since it began in 1901. I'm only asking for you to name 10. That's less than 10%. Can you do it? I can't. Because even though these individuals have made important contributions to the well-being of our world, even though they've been important people, I don't know them. I'm not connected to them. They're important. They just aren't important to me. So let's try this again. Raise your hand if you can name 10 teachers or adults who have had a significant impact on your life. Raise your hand if you can generate a list of 5 friends who have been there for you at the darkest moments of your life. Raise your hand if after church on Sunday afternoon you would like to hang out together, maybe go down to a local establishment and get some lunch and have a beer. Raise your hand. Well, you might prefer to go to lunch with one of the wealthiest people in the world, one of those 10, because they would pay for lunch. Or maybe some movie star, a social influencer, would add to your personal prestige, or even these winners of the Nobel Peace Prize, to show other people that you hang out with smart people. All those things might be fun. But honestly, most of us don't have those kind of connections. Those people don't have a real direct influence or an authentic power in our lives. Our realm of influence, our realm of connection is right here. It's in our midst. It's our family, our friends, our church, our schools, our community. You have to have a real relationship in order to have a baseline of credibility. That's what's happening first in this prayer. That's what Jesus is doing. He's establishing the chain of credibility between God and the disciples. He says to God, I've made your name known to them. Those who you gave me in this world, they're yours. You gave them to me, and now they know your word. They keep your word. They know everything you have given me is from you. The words that you gave to me, I gave to them. Now they know I came from you. Now they believe that you sent me. See, Jesus is telling God in this prayer in no uncertain terms that these people whom God had given him, these disciples, these followers, have heard the call and they have chosen to dedicate their lives to God and to follow Jesus. And now they are connected to God through Jesus. They're connected to God through Jesus. They're connected to God through the Word of God. They're connected to God because they know and believe that God, the source of all life, has sent them Jesus. So basically, Jesus is telling God, they know you. You know them. There's a connection between you and them. The second part of the prayer is actually a prayer of protection. I have to give a shout out to Marcia Barrett today. We were talking in the office last week, and she asked me, if I'd ever seen the comedian Tim Hawkins talking about a hedge of protection. Have you ever heard those words before? When someone asks God, Heavenly Father, will you surround this person with a hedge of protection to keep them from all evil? I don't know why I have to say that with a southern accent, but I do. Anyway, I found the video and I thought you'd enjoy it, and it seems relevant to today's lesson. Here it is.
I think the way we pray is a powerful thing, but I think it's when you grow up in church, it's just you hear prayers all the time in different styles and stuff, and little quirks that people have when they pray. I don't know, little phrases that I don't understand to this day. But we use the phrases, but we, that's just what we heard growing up. We think that's just the right thing to say when we pray, you know, like hedge of protection. You ever hear that? Hear that a lot.
Hedge of protection. Damn, we are praying a hedge of protection around you, buddy. That's right, a hedge. Mm-hmm. Around you and your whole family.
A hedge, huh? I don't mean to complain. Is that the best you can do? How about a thick cement wall with some razor wire on top of that bad boy? Hedge of protection, good set of clippers get right through that thing. I'm sure the devil's got a set of those. I mean, you think a hedge is going to scare the devil away? And watch out, what is this greenery?
I can't get through that. Move that bush. My greatest weakness is landscaping. How did they know? That's how the devil walks, like his will. He has a pointy tail. He doesn't want to step on his tail. And he talks like a game show host. Fantastic. You get the turtle wax. Forget the last 30 seconds ever happened in your life.
See, when Jesus prays, he doesn't use Christian catchphrases. He doesn't pray in that formulaic way that sometimes sounds insincere. He just asks God straight out to please be present in the lives of the disciples and to protect his friends. I mean, this is such a beautiful prayer request. Jesus loves them so much. He's worried about their well-being. He wants them to be okay after he's gone. It also means that they and we are going to face difficulties in this world. And one of the main difficulties that Jesus mentions in this prayer, in particular, is division. He asks God to protect us from division. Jesus prays, protect them. I'm asking on their behalf, not for the whole world, but for them, because they are yours. Remember the connection? Protect them. Make them one, like we are one. Then he says, while I was with them, I protected them. I guarded them. How cool is that? I mean, have you ever really thought about that? That Jesus protected and guarded the disciples while he was with them. All the adversity that they faced, all the challenges of their ministry, all the temptations and the attacks from the powers of evil. Jesus himself stood right with them and protected them and guarded them. Well, now he's fixing to leave. And he needs God to help him. Keep them safe. Keep us safe. So the third part of the prayer from Jesus is sometimes hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to embrace. Because Jesus makes it clear that because we have this connection to God, because we live in the Word of God, the disciples, and we modern followers, we're just not part of this world. Jesus prays, they have your word, and now the world hates them because they don't belong to the world. They do not belong to the world, just like I do not belong to the world. See, in the Gospel of John, the world is a broken place. The world's a scary place for those who choose to follow Christ. So if you are following Christ to win a popularity contest or to fit in with the rest of the world, then you may not comprehend the true nature of the gospel. Jesus makes it pretty clear that if we follow him, we're going to be different than the world around us. Therefore, we shouldn't expect people to be nice to us when we're following Jesus, because they weren't nice to Jesus. We shouldn't expect people to understand the values that we choose or the way we live our lives or the priorities we set, because our lives are modeled after the life in the ministry of Jesus. Our principles don't come from this world. Our principles don't come from any human ideas. We follow the teachings of Christ, which are found in the Word of God, and we aren't guided by other people's opinions or the latest fads or fashions or any political or social rhetoric. We are guided by the Holy Spirit of God, which lives and dwells inside of us. And we live by the simple, loving, kind values of the kingdom of God. And those are not seen as strengths right now in our world. Our world rewards people who argue, people who engage in constant conflict, people who think that they're right all the time, people who are filled to the absolute brim with pride and avarice and anger. And this is not the way of Jesus. The world does not value the values of Jesus. He values humility, love, kindness, self-sacrifice, putting others above yourself, serving other people, following God above any other source of influence in this world. So there's this dichotomy, right? Between the followers of Christ and the world. And if you don't feel that tension in your own life, then maybe I need to make a suggestion, right? Maybe it's time to engage the Word of God again. Read what Jesus says to us. See how Jesus lived his life. Watch him suffer and die for what he believes. Understand again what it means to follow Jesus. Now, on the other hand, in the Gospel of John, the world is beloved. You know the text, the one that everybody always points out, the one that everybody memorizes in Sunday school, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, it says it right there. This is written by the same guy who wrote the prayer that Jesus prayed for the disciples. In no uncertain terms, John says, God loves the world too. So we have to live between these two ideas, with the paradox, with the uncertainty of these two truths, that the world is a broken place and that the world is a beloved place. And then we need to remember the reason Christ came to the world in the first place was to reach out to the people who were broken in the name of God. And just like Jesus, now the disciples and now we are being sent out into the world, not because we buy into the way of the world, not because we are part of the world and want to maintain this brokenness that we see happening around us all the time. It is just the opposite. We engage in the world in order to do what Jesus did, to make a connection between God and the people of the world. So we proclaim Christ in the middle, and then we get out of the way and let God go to work. Let God change people's hearts. Let God change the world. Let God work in the hearts and the minds of every single person who hears the truth that we proclaim. See, our job is to proclaim the Word of God, the truth of God, through our words and our deeds, to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And when we really are doing our job, when the Holy Spirit is working in and through us, then we proclaim Christ in truth and love, and we step out of the way. That's it. That's what we do. So Jesus prays to God on our behalf. As you sent me, I send them into the world. Well, that's it. Those are the three roundabout ways that Jesus prayed for us in the Gospel of John. It's how Jesus prayed for his friends. But not just the disciples back then. When we read this portion of God's word, please hear what's really happening. Jesus is praying for us. See, we have a job to do. Nothing has changed since way back then. We're still connected to God. We're still protected by God. And we are still called to speak and live the word of truth. We disciples are still prayed for by Jesus every single day. And we're sent out by him into this world in his holy and gracious name. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue with the hymn of the day. Thank you.
Together with the whole church on earth and all the saints in lights, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So with all the people of God, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your word made flesh in Jesus Christ, and that through his death, resurrection, and ascension, we are forever called as your people. Hold us fast in faith, that trusting in your promise, we may remember that we are not of this world, but of the kingdom that is and is still to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, through death on the cross, you took on the sin of the world. Through your resurrection, you defeated the power of death. And in your ascension to glory, you have ensured that all the faithful will forever abide in loving relationship with you. May these gracious promises of forgiveness, hope, and life eternal strengthen us in our faith, that we may live with full confidence in the power of your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Though we await to be in your presence, we know that you have called us here to this place and time, carrying on the task of ministry set before us as proclaimers of your gospel. And so we hold in prayer all those who are in need this day. We pray for all who continue to be affected by COVID, and especially the people of India. Send your healing power upon this world, O God, and encourage us to do what is within our power to love and care for our brothers and sisters in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in this community of faith and for all those connected to our Joy family. We pray for John, Connie, Don and Sonia, Sharon, and Bob. Surround them in your love and care in their time of need. We pray for the family of Bob Munchen, brother-in-law of Jeremy Bjork, the family of Arthur Borgensen, the father of Janice Obi, and the family of Arlene Keith, aunt of Marsha Barrett, as they grieve the loss of these loved ones. Come, Holy Spirit, console us who mourn. Surround these friends in your eternal promise of life through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, including those named in our hearts and minds. Hear our prayers and sustain us in your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we will continue with our offering. A reminder to you that while we are here gathered in person, we are not passing the offering plate yet. However, you still can make contributions to the ministry here at Joy through our online giving, as well as sending those offertory gifts to the church here. Know that these gifts are received in love. They are vital to the ministry of our congregation, and they are an act of trust and faith that God is able to use these gifts for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of the world.
Curliest wet, the coldest heart, the deepest wound, the endless dark, the lonely ache, the burning tears, the bitter night, the wasted years, like rain and falls apart. But we know these are places where grace is soon to be so amazing. They may be unfulfilled, they may watch and see. It will not be unredeemed. For every choice that led to shame, and all the love to someone broke, and every life that gave up hope, we live in the shadow of the fall, but the cross has been
Continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth, and for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea, and for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out upon all nations. And so in praise and thanksgiving, we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread and broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and blessed it, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by this Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is the body of Christ, and it is given for you. This is the blood of Christ, and it is shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. May our glorious God grant you a spirit of wisdom to know and to love the risen Lord Jesus, the God of life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We join together in singing our sending song. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Go in peace, share the good news. Hallelujah.